Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
All right, so before we dive into this episode that's going to be all about balance, Jen and I want to share something with you that we've talked about a lot that helps us keep balance in our own life, and that is Vivo Barefoot Shoes. And I'm not kidding you, but it really can help us train our balance systems of our body. We're going to talk about a system called the proprioceptive system all throughout the episode, and basically what that means is we can feel the ground underneath our feet. Vivos are so amazing because they're thin and flexible, so they let our feet feel through them and feel what the ground's doing underneath our feet. So literally can help balance, not just pulling your leg. Jen and I have a code. If you want to use Optimal15, using the link in our bio, you can get 15% off your shoes. And Vivo has a 100-day trial. So even if you're not the hugest fan, after 3 months, you can send them back. No questions asked. This month, they actually have a new shoe out called the Geo Racer. And what this one is a shoe that we can move in, that we can use for movement or exercise, but still kind of looks stylish and can have that casual, stylish look. So, link in our bio, you can get 15% off your Vivo Barefoots today.
We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another PT Pearl. And today we're talking through something that's like one of my favorite topics, one of Jen's favorite topics, because she used to be on the balance beam in gymnastics, a balance beam specialist. We're talking about balance today. Why is balance so important? Some of you might know that right off the top of your head. And some of you might be like, why is balance important? I don't fall. I don't have issues with my balance. So first off, why do you think balance is something important or something we should pay attention to?
I mean, if we just look into any of the studies, we know that as we age, one of the highest, you know, risk of death is fall-related injuries.
Yeah.
And it just gets higher after we pass age 50. And honestly, 50 is not old.
No.
It's not old. And so if we're already starting to lose some of our senses and our sensation and our balance is starting to go, we have to understand why. And I think what's most important in what we're going to talk into today is the fact that we think of balance as one thing, yeah. Being able to balance on a single leg.
Being able, right? To stay upright or balance on a single leg.
Exactly. Totally.
Or be on a balance beam.
Well, not many people think about that, luckily.
I guess that whole concept of just like being on a scale, yeah. Or something unstable, like,
yes.
And keeping upright, but it's so much more than just that one thing, like,
exactly.
Stay balanced.
Right. Exactly. I think what's cool is that integrating, you know, all of what balance is involved in and mm-hmm. making it easy for people to understand and be able to take away some of the tools, techniques, and things that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. And like Jen said, I mean, as we age, falls is something that we should be aware of, and knowing that falls is something that puts us at a really high risk of injury, and yeah. Then especially if we have a fall with an injury, that increases our risk of mortality based on a lot of research. So this is stuff that we can look at, and breaking it down into those three systems is going to be great. And I always tongue-in-cheek will tell people, like, if there are two things you can do for the rest of your life, it's be able to stand up without using your hands from a really low surface and balance on one leg for a minute on each side. And for me, that is just reflective of a lot of research that says, okay, if you can't do certain things, you may be at an increased risk of falls. And so why don't we dice a little bit into how we test falls? Like, how do we currently test, or not falls, how do we test balance?
Yeah.
How do we currently test balance, or how do we look at it in the clinic? And why is that important? Or why is it important that we have a few different ways of testing balance?
Yeah, well, I mean, usually, typically, we're not even using them until it goes into the older population. And, yeah. You know, a lot of Medicare patients we're documenting for insurance companies. And so again, people might feel a disconnect, like, this is so not me, this is not what I need. But we also have to realize that being able to test these systems do play a role in yeah. how we integrate throughout our body. And even if you use some of these tools and techniques that we're going to talk about and understanding yeah. where the tests then come into play, and if we improve upon some of those things, we actually improve mobility, We improve our relationship to pain. Mm-hmm. We improve our strength. We improve our awareness, our activation, no longer our glutes asleep, you know, just by integrating some of these systems all together.
Because these three systems, really, they just increase our awareness of our body and what our body is doing and how our body is being controlled. And that can help you as a really high level athlete. That can help you as a mother carrying their child on a slippery surface. That can help you as somebody who may be a little bit older, just had an injury and needs to go out to get their mail, you know. And in any of those scenarios, having a little better awareness, a little better understanding of our own balance can help us perform at the highest level, no matter what it is you're trying to do. So I think when we are in the clinic and looking at how we test balance, we usually try to say, okay, there's three systems of balance. How do we kind of test out which one we might be having the most issues with? Because that can tell us more about a person or more about where the root cause of the issue may be coming from. But then also the test becomes the exercise. And then how do we then train that one or two systems that we might have a little more difficulty with? Or which one might we be relying on the most so that we should train the other two, right? So what are the three systems of balance?
I know, we keep talking about it and someone's probably like, what the heck? They haven't even said what they are.
Get to it, dang it.
Yeah, exactly. So the most powerful that we as humans typically are using, because we're very fortunate to have, is vision. Yeah. I would say that is the one that we rely on the most for balance. Think about it. If something feels unstable, what is the first thing that usually happens? Your eyes, like, alert.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what's happening underneath me, right? Your eyes are the first thing to kind of like jut open.
Totally. And anytime, I mean, if you can just think about it, that we are in the dark, or if we wake up in the dark and we're like, oh my gosh, which way's up? Literally, that's what our eyes do for us. They help us tell us where the horizon is and which way's up and which way's down, right? Mm-hmm. And that gives us a lot of orientation with balance. And I have found, especially in some of the neuro clinics I've worked in, when people are starting to have neurodegeneration, we rely on vision a lot.
A lot.
Because when that gets taken away from us, we literally are blind. And then our body feels blind as far as knowing where it is. So vision's a real important one. Number two, and I'll try to explain this as easily as I can, is our vestibular system. And what is this crazy vestibular system? I don't know if anyone out there knows what a gyroscope is. And if you don't know what a gyroscope is, it's kind of looks like these systems of canals. And basically, as we turn our head, there are these canals in our head that fluid flows in and out of. And so it basically tells us, okay, I dump my head forward, the fluids flows through the canals and gives us a message saying, okay, we're dumping our head forward. So even if I were to have my eyes closed and I kind of turn my head to the side, I can still tell which way is up, because that vestibular system is basically just helping me read gravity and how my head is moving around in gravity. And having vestibular issues can really give us some weird sensations, right? Which I think you've had a problem with before.
Yeah, exactly. It's like so interesting, right? Because especially as a therapist, you learn this through school, you learn the tools and techniques, you know, to help a client, which is not ever talked about either. We always think, oh, inner ear issue, I need to take an antibiotic, which might happen, right? And also, there are ways that you can work with a therapist that can actually really help the vestibular system if you start to feel dizzy. So in my experience, what I had was called BPPV. And really, I mean, just basically, this was like a new year. I don't even know why it happened. I'm going to say that I maybe drink too much on New Year's.
They say that can be a risk factor.
So sorry. So I was at a workout at 45, actually. It was the first time taking it. I laid down to do one of the exercises and I turned my head and all of a sudden the world is spinning around me. And I was like, whoa, don't turn my head that way anymore.
Yeah.
And it was so weird because it was, I would get up, I could move, I could work out, I finished the whole workout, I was fine. But the moment I would lay down, turn my head a specific direction, the world would just start spinning. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I think I got some crystals kind of floating around in some different positions in my inner ear right now.
And the whole crystal talk, you might hear people talk about crystals in the vestibular system. And basically what BPPV is, in short, the crystal is basically the thing that when it's stationary and moving is telling our head where it is. And it's usually nice and safe planted in that vestibular apparatus attached to it. And when that comes loose, it's still sending signals to us saying, hey, this is what your head's doing. But now it's just tumbling and floating through this canal. And so if we turn our head a certain way and it tumbles through the canal, it's going to tell us our head's tumbling. So that's why it feels like you're on this like fun house that's shaking around you, right? Which I've never experienced.
Yeah. Which is also why if you work with a therapist who knows where to orient the canals in a certain direction, because we have
the Dix Hall Pike.
Yes, we have different positional movements that we put you in based on what is happening within your system. So it's not one size fits all. There's different things depending on what we see and what we diagnose for you as a therapist. Yeah. So I called one of my girlfriends who's a doctor of physical therapy who we've had on the podcast, Dr. Yanni Proctor. Shout out to her. And she was like, I don't usually work with neuro anymore, but let's give it a try.
Let's do it. Let's go for it. So PTs love doing the things they don't normally do on other PTs.
I know. Well, like, you can test it out on other PTs.
They get it. They can kind of help me walk through it.
Exactly. And so she came over and she did the Hall-Pike Dix test. And then she took me through one of the motions. And I sat up and I felt better. It was literally once. And she was like, whoa, really?
It worked.
You feel okay?
And you're like one of the perfect people to test it on. Because, I mean, your system would respond
rather quickly.
Pretty quickly to something like that. And again, there is different, and I'm not going to specifically like quote any research, but there's things that have shown that if you have a vestibular issue and you go to a PT first, you will save time and dollars in your visits. Because when we go to somebody who's not specifically trained to just tease out, okay, is this something that we can start working proactively on and get to, you know, the symptoms to reduce, where when someone else might assess and not be as familiar with those easy ones to tease out, you might do higher testing and you might go to more expensive testing. Like a lot of people who have BPPV who go different routes first will get different MRI imaging and stuff like that, that we just don't need to determine exactly what's going on.
Yes.
So we have the tools to kind of tease that out earlier. So that's really any vestibular issues, or if the world seems like it's shaking around you, call up your local PT and see if they might have an assessment they could take you through.
And you can look up specifically on Google for vestibular physical therapists, because there are physical therapists who will specifically work within their clinic to have more tools to be able to address. And because they work with it specifically, it's not like calling up a PT friend and hoping that she'll do the right thing. they specifically work with clients like this. So it's like, we don't have to live with this debilitating feeling of, I can't ever put my head upside down, or I can't do a flip. You know, a lot of people, they'll go play and just that tumbling motion is going to knock them out, or trying to do a handstand, you know, and there's different ways that we can start to progress those.
And so especially if you've had something like that, and it seems like I can never even go to a grocery store, because as soon as I start turning my head, you know, I get triggered by that. Even though it's not the same, I start to feel some nausea or dizziness or instability, right? So there's all sorts of these vestibular symptoms that we could start experiencing. And that's where physical therapists starts teaching us exercises on how to like accommodate to that stuff and how to get better at that stuff to desensitize and maybe not have those symptoms. So very important. And that's just system number two.
Yeah.
Moving into system number three, which I love as a PT, and I think all PTs kind of like messing with, our proprioceptive system, which is basically the system of receptors that, my way of explaining it is, if you close your eyes, you still know where your hands are. You still know where your feet and ankle are. You can still feel the ground beneath your feet and kind of what that's doing. If it's squishy, if it's hard, this, you know, kind of packages into our proprioceptive system that kind of just, without looking at it, tells us what the world is doing around us, or tells us where our joints and tissues are in space.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, as physical therapists, as trainers, we're so obsessed with movement, because it's going to have a big effect on how our body is reading what we're doing in space. We become more aware, we become more stronger, we become just, you know, increasing that awareness of our body is going to help with balance, because we get strong in so many ways, and there's muscles that are needed for different reactions that we're going to talk about in order to help with balance. So
And that's where then we go back to, okay, how is it tested? And usually it has to do with teasing out these three systems, which one are we having the most issues with. But then also, like, balance isn't a static thing.
Right.
We're not just standing shoulder width apart with our feet shoulder width apart at all times. Like, we move through a dynamic world, which is where our balance tests at the most basic, come down to something called like a Romberg, where we just start with feet shoulder width apart, move to feet together, move into a tandem stance or a partial tandem stance, which is standing with your feet heel to toe, and then standing on a single leg. And then almost repeating that with your eyes closed, because then you kind of mess with the vision and see if that's a component. Then we move into other ones that are the Berg or single leg stance alone. Mm-hmm. And there are markers in those tests that say, okay, if you score below this level, you may be at an increased risk of falls. A lot of those are testing more static, though. The Berg moves into a little dynamic stuff, but you're still just standing in one position.
Yeah. And then we have other ones that incorporate gait into it so that we start doing head movements, we start doing vestibular. Totally. Our goal right now isn't to necessarily tease out all these tests. It's just to start to bring you an idea of what these systems are doing and how we can start thinking about them so that we understand in our own bodies what we might need to do. So if you want to learn more about the studies, we'll definitely link up to them.
Totally.
However, and if you want to, you know, do a little test, if you're feeling a little bored, go for it.
Yeah, they have them all listed online. So yeah, we'll have a link that brings you to a bunch of tests and you can kind of read through them and see these things like, oh, I see where that might challenge some of these systems they're talking about.
But we're going to talk about it right now.
Totally,
as well.
For sure. And kind of break it down so you might even be able to test yourself.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to kind of take you through like, okay, how can we challenge each system to see if that's one that I might rely on a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so one that we like to start with, because it's one that people notice a lot, is our vision.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just standing with your feet shoulder width apart and trying to stand tall, close your eyes and see if that makes a difference. And a lot of people, within the first 5 to 10 seconds, they might feel this little wobble in your ankles, right? And we'll talk about the ankles and why those wobble so much in a second, but that's the first way to kind of initially say, how much do I rely on my vision? And if it's tough to just stand there shoulder width apart, feet shoulder width apart, and close your eyes, then we might need to learn how to train the other systems for when our vision is challenged.
Exactly. And then when we start to break it down, I mean, exactly like Dom already kind of went through the progression of feet right underneath you. And that's another thing I actually look at, like real quick. If I'm watching just someone statically stand, I'm not necessarily looking at every little nook and cranny of what's not in mm-hmm. perfect alignment, but I'm also seeing, do you stand with your feet wider than your mm-hmm. hips, or do you stand with your feet pretty comfortably right underneath you? And without trying to think about that, right? Like, if you're not driving, can you just like shake out your body, march in place a little bit, and then just where do your feet just comfortably go underneath you? And if it's a little bit wider than your hips or your normal base of support, mm-hmm. that is another indication that your system itself is not trusting you.
Yeah.
And this is what could drive tightness throughout the system. This is what can, because your body automatically feels, I need to increase my base of support in order to feel safe within my mm-hmm. system. And so walking, balance, like all of these things are going to be, probably all the systems are totally. Going to be needing to be tested. And that's just mm-hmm. a good, quick way to really be able to see, is my body feeling tense and tight and feeling the need to protect itself so it goes into this wider base of support? Or do I feel comfortable with my feet completely underneath me and my body's pretty relaxed and balanced?
Yeah. And if you notice that you do have that wider base of support to start, rather than focusing on challenging any system, you know, maybe we just see how comfortable it is to narrow up that stance and just start there. Like you said, march. And if we have a little more narrow stance when we're marching our feet, try to settle there and stay there and use that as your initial exploration into this balance. Because like you said, with the eyes closed, if that's easy, standing shoulder width apart, then we kind of progress and we'll narrow up that base of support, mm-hmm. stand in a tandem stance, stand on a single leg. And if you can stand on a single leg with your eyes closed, that's pretty good balance. You'll mm-hmm. probably start to notice our ankles working a lot, our hips working a lot. And that kind of brings me to another thing that would deal more with the proprioceptive system.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that now. How do we challenge the proprioceptive system? Usually PTs will do that by changing the surface underneath the feet, mm-hmm. right? Like a foam pad.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And especially when we use this so much when we're recovering from injury,
totally.
Right? Because that is what's going to challenge the muscles specifically around the ankle. So think of a lot of exercises that physical therapists will use. They'll be like one of the boards that kind of rotates and you use your foot in all these different directions. You stand on a foam pad, you stand on a Bosu. And when we change that base of support, we're making the muscles around that ankle or around that hip and that full leg, your core even, like your breath, everything starts to work and start to be challenged because we're making those muscles work in a different way.
And if you're somebody who in the past, or if you're an athlete and say you've had a soft tissue injury, like a muscle strain or tear, or even a ligament tear, like an ACL injury or something like that, this might sound really familiar because when we have a soft tissue issue, when we have a soft tissue injury like that, that's where those proprioceptors are. They're in a lot of those ligaments, tendons, soft tissue. So when we disrupt those, our knee or our ankle may have a little bit less of a sense of what the heck it's doing. And so it's going to feel like it's on an island. And that's why as PTs, we train that again. Because once we have that, you know, less understanding of what the knee's doing, and we go back into play a little bit too early, our motor patterning and how our muscles fire might not quite be backward to where we think it used to be or where we need it to be to get back to competition. So like training those proprioceptors on pads and stuff really helps us coordinate that stability in those joints again.
Exactly. And the strategies that we use to prevent from falling, especially when we're talking about muscles, we use an ankle strategy. So how exactly what we're talking about, you'll notice, especially if you stand on a single leg, what are those ankles doing to kind of help and stabilizing you? And we also use a hip strategy, and we want to know the difference. Which one are you relying on? Are you relying more on like an ankle strategy to kind of help and stop you? Are you relying on your hips? Are you relying on your knees? And it's important to realize, because especially if we're talking about sport or athletics or really just everyday people, where is the place that's going to draw the most power? It's our hips.
Yeah.
And so if we can better utilize those, the muscles around the hips, and not just your glutes, but all the muscles that integrate into those hips play a role in balance and building this proprioception within your body to help to make you a better mover in general, so that no matter what the surface is that you're walking on, or if it changes underneath you, you have the ability and the control within your body to help support you.
Yeah. And, you know, with saying that, we tend to see people use more of a hip strategy when they're more unstable, right? So you're using that ankle strategy first, and then you're using that hip strategy. So if you're doing a balance exercise and you're really using your hips to stay upright, maybe we're not showing enough control to do that activity yet. And we digress or go back a progression to find something that we have a little more ankle strategy and feel a little more stable at the hips, right? Again, it's not bad to use a hip strategy and to challenge ourselves there too. But if it's an uncontrolled hip strategy, then that might cause us to go to next the stepping strategy, or not being able to get the stepping strategy down and falling, right? So just knowing where are we using that strategy the most, and how much am I challenging myself so we're not at a progression that we might not be ready for again.
Yeah. Are you just bending at the knees? Are you just bending at the hips uncontrollably? Yeah. You know, what does your body normally do in a sense of needing to protect itself? And so it's interesting to start to gain that awareness and then start to say, how can I utilize a more upright posture in order to start to stabilize and use all the muscles along from the foot all the way up the hip?
For sure. So to review, proprioceptive system, just stand shoulder width apart on something squishy, like a foam pad or a pillow or a cushion, and then maybe try to change that base of support just like we did with our eyes closed, and see where you may be at with that.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important to continue to start to build these in. I've seen sometimes in recent, I will bring this up too, you know, there are some therapists that say, we don't need a BOSU. We don't need a foam pad. You know, we just need the basics. We need a strength train. And as much as I agree, we do need a strength train. We do need to bring this into awareness. If we're not challenging our system in different ways, and knowing that we're using a vestibular system, a visual system, a proprioceptive system, and it all plays a role into the strength in what we have in our body and into protecting it, we're not building a healthy overall human.
Totally.
And this is why Dom and I, we do have a foam pad. Yeah. We do use BOSU balls. We do throw off our own, you know, strategies, and we challenge ourselves, and we urge others to start to challenge it as well. And this is where we can start to integrate it, right?
Well, we haven't told them how to isolate vestibular yet. So the third one, if you're just trying to challenge your vestibular system, you're going to want to focus your vision on something so that you're using your vision to tell you where things are at, stand shoulder width apart, and just kind of shake your head side to side. Nice and slow to start. And again, if that really throws you off, then there might be something going on with our vestibular system, or we might really rely on it. Or if you go with your head up and down, again, the next thing, again, would be to challenge and go in more narrow base to a tandem stance and see if that nodding or shaking of the head started to challenge you a little bit. And then that would be more so starting to challenge that vestibular system.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And then we go into integration. So how do we integrate all of those?
Yeah. And I think that when we talk about integrating, that's the most important thing. When we get to the most complex balance tests that we use clinically, it also is trying to best integrate all the information, the physical tests, this subjective or what they're telling, like, oh, I've fallen this many times in this however long, or all of the things, vision, vestibular, strength, how we dynamically do that when we dual task, right? So as we're exercising, if we start to realize, hey, I rely a lot on vision, you know, what's it like to do walking lunges with your eyes closed?
Mm.
You know, what's it like to start to do a standing single leg dumbbell curl instead of standing on two legs, right? It doesn't have to be tough, but when we start to integrate these things a little more, then it starts to prepare us for this variable world that we live in.
Exactly. And honestly, we're going to, When you challenge your system, you're making more of your system have to work harder. And so it's the easiest thing to challenge your system and start to say, I don't have to necessarily increase weight or increase load, but if I just change what I'm dominant at, even if it was one eye. So one of the things that I like that we did in integrated kinetic neurology, which is we're going to have those guys on to kind of explain, because they're really cool at integrating all these systems. But if you just make a little triangle, hold your hands out in front of you and then bring it to your face, and what eyeball do you notice that you bring your hands to? Normally, we don't just bring it right in the middle of the nose. If you bring it to your dominant eye, and that is the eye that we realize that is actually more dominant in our vision system. So if I just close this dominant eye and then do work with my non-dominant eye, I'm now flooding my system to make it work even harder. Even if I'm doing squats, even if I'm doing lunges, even if I'm doing whatever, mobility, you can use it with mobility and start challenging the system to integrate more in order to start to really get this all to process and improve.
For sure. And I think that that's an important message to kind of end on, that it is never one thing and it's never going to be one of these systems of balance or how it integrates into our life in a specific way. So even when you go to a clinician, that's why they really tease things out. If you're having a lot of issues with balance, of course, reach out, maybe find somebody, a physical therapist, a neurologic physical therapist, something like that. Otherwise, take a look into some more of those tests or something and see how we start to manipulate the variables a little more. But if not, like Jen said, just try adding something into your workout and you'll be amazed at how many things you can start to change or realize in your body.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be very hard or very complicated, but it could change the way you feel drastically. I've had even friends, physical therapists, who use some of these techniques. You know, you could draw an X somewhere on a piece of paper and be doing a squats, or you could be doing quadruped holds and you're staring at the piece of paper but moving your head. So just like Dom said, you're using that vestibular system, challenging the vestibular while you're doing exercise and movement. You're going to make your system work harder, and you might even notice that the muscles that typically cause pain are not focused there anymore, and your mind and your body is focusing somewhere else because it's maintaining this vestibular. It's challenging the vestibular system. And you might feel something different in a movement that normally causes you pain, or raising your arm overhead that normally causes you shoulder pain. There's so many ways that we can just, if we just start understanding and playing with these systems, we can start changing the way that we feel. All right, friends, it is 1 week until the Grateful for My Body Challenge starts. So before you head out, make sure to go over, head to the show notes, because we'll have the link, and it starts November 1st. We're really going to dive in and explore the body. And this is a one-time payment. It's not a membership. It's not a subscription. It's your opportunity to not only learn all the things that we talk about every single episode, which is increasing that core stability, having awareness of what the heck the core is, increasing that strength, the balance, but also that awareness within your body. Okay, I'm going to take you and give you a full calendar so you know what to do every single day. You can still incorporate your other exercises if you want to, or your other workouts, because they're going to be pretty quick. They're going to go pretty fast. And really, it's just your opportunity to try on something new, do something different, and feel something different. And this is your trial of 30 days to really see, when I incorporate all this, how does it feel? Do I learn something new? Do I feel something different? And we're going to, beyond just the calendar and the videos, but we're going to have daily goals. We're going to have a community of people to really hold us accountable to what we're doing. And starting November 1st, going to November 30th, 30 days straight. And this is, again, something I don't know if I'm going to offer again. So I really would love people to get in, give me your feedback, see if you like it, and see how you're feeling when you really incorporate these things for 30 days. So head to the show notes, check it out, and get in. Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Gen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community, tell us what you're learning, rate and subscribe to the episode, because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.